Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhaktivedanta ki, Grantaraja Shri Bhagavatana ki, Girinaj Maharaj ki, Jainita Gopremanande. What did we discuss last time in our class?
Three major themes we discussed. One is how to handle, we should be careful in handling opposite sex, and the Vedic times because the maturity of the chastity in one sense. So when one touches the hand, they will be the husband and so forth. This is theme one. And theme two was the Gatiloma marriage, that is inauspicious. But of course, destiny is more powerful than that. When they got married and when they understood that that is their destiny to get married, the last thing probably Prabhupada emphasized on astrology. And practically, we should be reaching only the devotees to understand and to get their perspective of astrology as well as the devotees.
Okay, nice. Any other points?
We also discussed that in Vedic system, male could get married to more than one woman for protecting women.
Thank you. Any other points?
I don't know whether we have discussed, but these two women are very jealous and proudy, fighting each other like hell, throwing into the well the daughter of the big brother, Shukracharya. He is the priest of the demons, very strong. I saw in Vishnu Purana the how much austerity Shukracharya did to get this boon, that to make the dead people alive. But he could not, but Lord Shiva didn't give him the boon that he can make him alive. That's why they have to do the churning of the ocean.
Anything else? Okay, so tonight we'll continue. Chapter 18. Hear more about the pastime of Yayati, Devayani, Samishta. So tonight we begin chapter 18 and verse number 30. When Shukracharya gave Devayani in marriage to Yayati, he had Samishta go with her. But he warned the king, "My dear king, never allow this girl Samishta to lie with you in your bed." O King Parikshit, upon seeing Devayani with a nice son, Samishta once approached King Yayati at the appropriate time for conception. In a secluded place, she requested the king, the husband of her friend Devayani, to enable her to have a son also. When Princess Samishta begged King Yayati for a son, the king was certainly aware of the principles of religion, and therefore he agreed to fulfill her desire. Although he remembered the warning of Shukracharya, he thought of this union as the desire of the Supreme, and thus he had sex with Samishta. Savannah, you want to go?
King Yayati was completely aware of the duty of the Kshatriya. When a Kshatriya is approached by a woman, he cannot deny her. This is a religious principle. Consequently, when Dharmaraj Yudhishthira saw Arjuna unhappy after Arjuna returned from Dwaraka, he asked whether Arjuna had refused a woman who had begged for a son. Although Maharaj Yayati remembered Shukracharya's warning, he could not refuse Samishta. He thought it was wise to give her a son. and thus he had sexual intercourse with her after her menstrual period. This kind of lust is not against religious principles. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7.11, dharma virudho virudho bhuteshu kamo kamosmi. Sex is not contrary to the principles of religion. Religion is sanctioned. Sex life not contrary to the principles of religion is sanctioned by Krishna. But Samishta, daughter of the king, had begged Jayati for a son. Their combination was not lust but an act of religion.
Any points?
Though Jayati remembered Shukracharya's warning, still he didn't follow him. He just did what he wanted to do.
Anything else?
Maintaining religious principles is always on the upper side than anything else or any other words. So religious principles are more important to be maintained in the Vedic systems. He has thought about both sides and took the religious principles side rather than his word.
Anything else?
I didn't get to.
No, I was saying that religious principles are more important than anything else in the Vedic systems. So he has considered both the sides of one Shukracharya having a word with Shukracharya promising on one side, and the other side is the religious principles saying that one has to satisfy the one who is approaching Akshatriya. So he has taken the religious principles side. Dharma, basically.
That's why Prabhupada says is right, it's correct. What he did is correct.
Anything else?
The purpose of sex life is to beget children. And Krishna consciousness.
Anything else? Okay. So, here we're learning about Vedic Dharma. Because Krishna says in the Gita that he has sex life which is not contrary to the religious principles or Dharma. So as long as something is dharmic, then it is not offensive towards Krishna. So in order to reach Krishna, you have to practice Dharma. You have to practice righteous activity or religious activity. And the most important activity to perform for everyone is Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma means the religious principles which are eternally to be followed according to the instructions of Krishna. So in the Gita he says sex life must be for procreation. He gives basic dharmic principles, dharma, dharmantu shakshat bhagavat pranyatam. It is said in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam. The dharma, it is introduced by Hari himself, by Krishna himself. And it comes through the Mahajanas, the 12 great Mahajanas. So this is the system. So one must follow dharma. One cannot follow something which is contrary to dharma. That is irreligion, or dharma. So, we're seeing in this particular verse, this particular purport, there are certain things which are instructed. First of all, we're seeing that King Yayati, he understood his dharma as a kshatriya. Kshatriya has certain dharma, or certain activities that he must perform. So the example is given that if the woman, if she approaches the man, he cannot refuse. Now this is a very important situation in marriage. We have to understand this. If you get married, because everyone here is a married person, you have an obligation to impregnate your wife, to give her children, if that is her desire. Now, the obligation is there. Sometimes men, sometimes you hear in ISKCON even, you hear that the men, they get married, but then they say to the wife, no children. So this must be made clear before the marriage. And it must be agreed upon by both partners. And the woman will change her mind anyway, later on. Sometimes the woman says, I don't want children. But then later on, after the marriage has taken place, she says, yes, I want children. There's like one young devotee, he got married a few years back. And he said to me that, I'm just going to make a point now, especially for you, Lila Mani. Just listen for me. Don't even offer your obeisances. All right, just listen. Next year, I'm going to teach 10th canto. If anyone comes late, I'm not opening that door. So understand it. You know, do your whole kind of 10 past 8 thing now. But understand, next year, I'm not even going to let you in the room. So understand it now. And don't get angry when you knock on the door continuously and I don't let you in. So just get this straight. If you want to study the 10th canto next year, either come on time or don't come, because I don't care. So, the basic system is that before the marriage, it must be agreed upon. And I saw one young couple, the devotees, then they said, we want to get married. And the wife said, I don't want to have children. She's just a young girl. And then I said to the boy who's going to marry her, I said that she'll change her mind. That's guaranteed. The women always change their mind. And just because they're young, they say they don't want kids. But later on, it's just experience. Of course they want children. 99% will want children. So if you get married, you are obligated to give children to the wife. That must be there. You cannot refuse. Otherwise, do not get married. Don't get married and then say to the wife, I don't want children. That is not dharma. So it is being described here that the kshatriya has dharma. So you see in the Mahabharata, for example, Arjuna was traveling around. He was banished to the forest for 1 year. So then he moved around for that 1 year. And during that time, he met different princesses. And they wanted to have children with him, so then he married them and he gave them children. So that is the kshatriya dharma, then he must satisfy. And you'll see in the palace, Prabhupada explains, in the Vedic times, and Prabhupada gives the example of Krishna's mother and father, Devaki and Vasudev.
Yeah.
That when Devaki married Vasudev, then I think Prabhupada said like six of her sisters were also given in marriage at that time.
All six sisters.
Yeah, all of them were given at that time. And then there were maidservants also. So you'll see there's like a retinue that comes. The kshatriya, because kshatriyas are very powerful, the actual kshatriyas, not these days. These days people say, I'm kshatriya. They didn't do anything. Kshatriya means like, you're very powerful. So kshatriyas, because they're in Rajagun, they're called Raja, Maharaja. Raja means they're very passionate. That's kshatriya nature. They have to be. Because they have to keep law and order in society. So they're very powerful. So therefore, they have permission to have sex life, not just with the wife, but also the maidservants in the palace. So then they would impregnate the maidservants. The famous example which we hear about in Bhagavatam and Mahabharata is Vidura. So then he is coming from one of the maidservants. So then they would be maintained within the palace. These things are there. So this is the system. The kshatriya must perform the dharma. Because he's powerful, he can maintain many women. And he has the obligation to maintain and to give. Like that. So that is the system. It needs to be there. So we see that in the Varnashram system, this dharma must be followed. But the basic principle that we learn, because we don't marry more than one wife, that's not the system in Kali Yuga. It's not allowed in Kali Yuga. So we just have the one wife, but you must give children, that's the point, if you can. Now, if you can't give children, then, yeah, but at least if she wants children, then the facility must be given as much as possible. That is the system. Now, Prabhupada says that the woman must be approached after the menstrual cycle. Rupa Goswami, he actually mentions in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the 8th chapter of the Nectar of Devotion is called Offenses to be Avoided. That's chapter 8 of the. So he actually mentions one of the offenses. You cannot touch the woman during her menstrual period. You cannot approach her for sex during the menstrual period. That's actually forbidden. So if one does that, then that is adharma. And Prabhupada says the woman must be approached between the 5th day after the menstrual cycle, 5th to the 15th day, between that period, because that is when the woman is fertile. If she has a 28-day cycle, if the woman has a 28-day cycle, you know, some women have longer or shorter, but 14 days before the cycle ends, that is when ovulation takes place. So a 28-day cycle, then the 14th day back, which is would be day 14, regularly, that is the most favorable time. So then, the husband at that time, he can approach the wife. So that is the principle, that once a month then he will approach the wife. And then they will attempt to have a child. So that is the dharmic system. So we have to follow the system of dharma. If you do that, then you'll have good progeny. Prabhupada says, chant 64 rounds before, and then conceive the child. And then you will invite a Vaikuntha child. Someone who will not give you any problems. Always behave themselves. Very, very good children. With such good devotional character and natural good qualities. And always thinking of Krishna. And always chanting. And never talking in the Bhaktivedanta class. Very good kids. So this is the system. That if you purify your consciousness, like Bhaktivedanta Thakur says, before you conceive the child, that night that you conceive, you have a program in your house. Invite all the devotees, do kirtan, distribute prasadam, discuss the shastra, purify the atmosphere, and then conceive. Prabhupada says 64 rounds. So there must be purification. Then there's called garbhadan samskara. Samskara means impression on the consciousness. So samskara means that you must purify your consciousness before you have a child. Otherwise, you don't know what you will get. And even when you purify yourself, you don't know what you'll get. No guarantees. Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was a Naishtika Brahmachari. Never passed his semen his whole life. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, I would have hundreds of children if I knew they would become devotees. So there's no guarantee. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his father, he had many children, 10 children, 12 children, many children. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had many brothers and some sisters. But not all of them became devotees. And you look at Prabhupada's children. Prabhupada had 3 kids. And not all of them took to devotional service. One of his children took ISKCON to court in the 1980s. He said ISKCON belonged to him because his father owned ISKCON. So everything in ISKCON belonged to him. He took ISKCON to court. He lost the court case. But he said ISKCON belonged to him, his father's property. He owned everything. So that's not devotional service. That's Prabhupada's son. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's brothers and sisters, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, not all of them were devotees. Even it says that Advaita Acharya, some of his children were Mayavadis, it says. So there's no guarantee. So at least do your best. At least chant 64 rounds or 128 rounds or 192 rounds. And then you maybe got some hope. And even then there's no guarantee. But the basic principle of the Bhagavatam is teaching us you must follow Dharma. If you don't follow Dharma, then You don't know what you'll get. So at least follow when you've got a chance. Yes. What is your question?
When new devotees...
This boy is asking.
When you come across this upcoming new people, should be... what should we tell them about? We should be telling them the same what you just told us now, or should we...
What did I tell you?
64 rounds.
Yeah. So what's your question?
My question is that keeping their level of devotion in mind, if somebody...
New people?
Yes.
Are they chanting 16 rounds?
No.
But
they still have these questions because they would have read partially Bhagavad Gita here and there, listened, you know, some lectures.
Yeah. So you just tell them, you say, the highest thing or the best thing is Prabhupada said 50 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
50. 50 rounds. Yeah, 50.
Sorry.
Okay, good. So Prabhupada said 50 rounds before you can see the child. So you can say that's the highest thing. So you don't tell them you have to do it, but you say that's the highest thing. Alright, so have to be practical. Don't push people too hard.
Yeah.
Because when you're preaching, it is like when the mother is breastfeeding the baby. When the mother is breastfeeding the baby, then what takes place? If she gives the baby too much, the baby will throw up. If she gives the baby too little, the baby will have stomach pains and problems. So you have to, when you're preaching, you have to be like a mother. You don't give too much, otherwise they will go away. And if you give too little, they will go away. So preacher has to be very expert. TK?
Can you tell us, please, how Prabhupada's son, why did he get lost? Why he lost the case?
Why he lost the case? Because this son did not belong to him. Because they proved that Prabhupada was a sannyasi. And Prabhupada, in his will, Prabhupada left his family money. Because Prabhupada was very wealthy. Prabhupada was a multi-millionaire. When he left ISKCON, when he left the world, he owned this temple. This temple now is worth, what's it worth now? It's worth about $11 million, this property. That 197 days, so it's worth about $11 million now. Back then, I mean, it wasn't that much, but but if you add up all of Prabhupada's property and BBT and all of his assets, he was multi-millionaire. Like that. So when Prabhupada left the world, he left in his will, he left quite a reasonable amount of money for his family to maintain them, his children. So Prabhupada knew that Prabhupada did the right thing, and he was a sannyasi. So in court they proved Prabhupada was a sannyasi. So his son had no. So if you take sannyas, if you become a sannyasi, then your children cannot take you to court. Any other point? Yeah, most years I'm in the Holy Dham. On Prabhupada's Tirubhava, his disappearance day. And sometimes his son comes for Prabhupada's Tirubhava in Mayapur or Vrindavan. He comes. So yeah, he's practicing. Any other point?
So all of them, like the one who took the ISKCON to court, is still practicing?
No, I don't think they're all practicing.
Okay. So it's amazing to see how they all are going back to Godhead.
Are they all going back to Godhead?
Yeah, so yeah. Prabhupada, seven after now.
Well, it says if you're a Maha Bhagavad, it says 100. If you're a Majjhimadhikari, then it says 14. And if you're a Kanishadhikari, it says 1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they'll be looked after, but they're not being very good while they're down there. So. Any other point? Okay. Devayani gave birth to Yadu and Turvasu, and Samishta gave birth to Druyu, Anu, and Puru. When the proud Devayani understood from outside sources that Samishta was pregnant by her husband, she was frenzied with anger. Thus she departed for her father's house. King Yayati, who was very lusty, followed his wife, caught her and tried to appease her by speaking pleasing words and massaging her feet, but he could not satisfy her by any means. Shukracharya was extremely angry. "You untruthful fool, lusting after women, you have done a great wrong." He said, "I therefore curse you to be attacked and disfigured by old age and invalidity." King Yayati said, "O learned, worshipable Brahmana, I have not yet satisfied my lusty desires with your daughter." Shukracharya then replied, "You may exchange your old age with someone who will agree to transfer his youth to you." So, Nitesh, you want to read that?
When King Yayati saw that he had not yet satisfied with his desires with Shukracharya's daughter, Shukracharya saw that it was against the interest of his own daughter for Yayati to continue in old age and invalidity. For certainly his lusty daughter would not be satisfied. Therefore, Shukracharya addressed his son in law by saying that he could exchange his old age for someone else's youth. He indicated that if Yayati's son would exchange his youth for Yayati's old age, Yayati could continue into his sex with the Yayati.
Okay. So what are the points here?
So Shukracharya does not know the level principle that Kshatriyas can have. Kshatriyas, if a woman approaches a Kshatriya, it is an issue too. So Shukracharya does not know that.
Yeah, of course he knows it.
Because then what is wrong in the earth is actually...
Because he said a few verses back, he said that do not lie down with Samishta.
Okay.
Because he knew Devayani would be upset.
And that's why in one of the purport it says like how Shukracharya is attached to the Dharma, even though he's a Brahmana. So here also we can see how he gave a curse to Yayati, but he gave, like he told you can get the youth back, that's for his selfishness. Like, he didn't want his daughter to be not happy. That's why he did. So one of the purports may clearly mention how Shukracharya is attached.
Anything else? Very straightforward. These are very powerful living entities. The one thing I notice is I've spent, you know, over 2 years, maybe 3 years of my life in India. And so I'm kind of partly Indian. A lot of my life I've spent in India itself. So one thing I find is people in India are not very direct. There's one thing came out on the internet one time. It was very funny. It says, in India, when we say yes, we go like this. And when we say no, we go like this. So people in India, they tend not to be so direct. But this is going a long way back. And these are very powerful living entities.
And also Sanskrit is a very cultured language. Yeah, it's not like, you know, they're just speaking in a very, it's a very civilized way. That if you look at the Sanskrit, the way they speak, it may be very civilized. But he may also be speaking truthfully and directly, because they're very exalted. So the way he's saying it is, you know, it's in a cultured way. But you're right, it is very direct. But it's actually good if sometimes people can learn to be direct. A lot of the problems in life are because people aren't direct, or they won't say things.
Yeah.
People won't say it, and then later on they find out that, oh, you know. Sometimes you upset someone, you don't find out for 2 years. And 2 years later, then they're like, you know, something comes out. And why didn't you just say, you know, Prabhu, you upset me, or something, or something. Okay. 2 years you didn't speak. Oh my God. These things happen. Good to learn to be a little direct, if you can.
Now, sir, probably, I think ART said it to Shukracharya because he knew that Shukracharya had the power to do something for him if he wants. So if he takes what is in his heart, he knew that Shukracharya can do something.
Maybe because he said in a way that he said in a way that it was meant for his daughter and that he will also be saved. In a very diplomatic way, in a way. Because everything will be balanced. He just didn't say, my lusty desires are not satisfied with someone else but with your daughter. So, my daughter is involved. So, he said, in a way.
Yeah, someone said that to me about my daughter. Yeah, if it was the husband, then, you know, these are very exalted people, so it must be the context in what they're saying and how they're saying it. You know, they're very advanced, cultured people, so they may speak very directly. Any other points?
Maybe also because he's a Brahmana, because
he didn't want it to lie for Brahmana. Could be like that. So you'll see what happens when people become lusty. When they become lusty, they lose their intelligence. It is mentioned so much so that he wanted to massage the feet of his wife. Yes. So when your intelligence becomes bewildered, you'll do almost anything. So it is mentioned here that one must, or Prabhupada is indicating, you must fulfill your material desires. That's the point. It's an important point in our Krishna consciousness movement. Devotees have to understand this. You have to fulfill your material desires before you can go back to Godhead. But you must do it in a regulated way. Therefore, as we've already said, Krishna states that I am sex life which is not contrary to the religious principles. So that is the whole point of the Varnashram system, and that is the whole point of the Grihastha Ashram. And everyone here is Grihastha. It means that before you go back to Godhead, you have to fulfill your material desires. So that's why we get married. Krishna gives you a license for sense gratification. You cannot have illicit sex. Illicit sex means there's no license. Just like you can't drive the car without a license. It's illegal. Do you have to have a license in India?
Yeah.
You do. I don't know, because the way they drive there, I'm not sure. Okay. What's that?
Don't have accidents like this.
Yeah. In?
Yes.
Don't have accidents?
No, not like this.
Like?
Before they stop, they begin to.
What does it mean?
No accidents. Because they hear massive accidents, you know.
Because the speed is less.
The speed is less.
Less. So the impact is also.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the figures, from what I've heard, 800 people every day die in India on the roads. Because, you know, there's a billion people there. So every day 800 are dying on the roads, you know, being hit by a car or something or something. So many problems. So the point is, you have to have a license. You can't just drive a car. It has to be a license, otherwise you will be restricted. So for sex life, because basically what is the reason why we get married? It's sex life. That's why we get married. It's subtle or gross. You have to understand these points. Gross sex life, subtle. Okay, maybe now you're married not having gross sex life because we're devotees, we're following some culture or some dharma. But it's all based on subtle sex life. It's attachment to the opposite sex. And you enjoy subtly, on the subtle level, the level of the mind, you enjoy the association of the opposite sex. So it is sex life. Whether it's gross or subtle, it's sex life. That's why you get married. So everyone in this material world, they're controlled by sex life. Pumsa Striya Matuni Bhaya. So the Bhagavatam is telling us that this is the binding principle for everyone in the material world. So in this material world, in order to overcome sex life, in order to overcome your material attachments, your material desires, you have to go through a regulated system. Krishna is very kind and fair. Krishna says, okay, you can fulfill your desires, but you must do it in a regulated way. So if you want to have sex life, then have kids. That's the natural consequence. Just like when Prabhupada first started ISKCON, he said to the devotees, you can have sex once a month to procreate children. So Hayagriva Prabhu, he was one of Prabhupada's first disciples, then he said, then what is the use? Once a month. And he said, what is the use? Prabhupada had said, exactly. And what's the point? The whole point is, if you only have once a month, then you give up your desire. That's the system. So the Varnashram system is there. Krishna gives you license for sense gratification. And by following that in a cultured way, gradually you'll give up your attachments. So if you have strong sex desire, have lots of kids. And then you'll lose all your sex desire. Even one kid's enough to put you off sex. No? And if you're not so intelligent, then you have two. And if you're still not intelligent, then you have three. And you're still not intelligent, about that. And then your desires will be lost. What's the point of marriage? The point of marriage, you get married so that you'll develop renunciation. That's actually the point of the Grihastha Ashram, become renounced. If you follow the system properly, you'll become detached. Because the wife will drive you crazy. The husband will drive you crazy. And the children will drive you crazy. There's no peace. You can't sleep when you want. You can't eat when you want. You can't go to the toilet when you want. Your life is completely... Yeah, it's completely under the control of your wife and your children. They decide they want something and then you have to, like that. That's just the way your life becomes. You don't have peace. It's like I was reading the other day in the morning. My daughter was getting ready for school, so I'm reading. And she knew that I was reading, so she just wanted to annoy me. So she kept talking. And I said, I'm reading now, just do something. So then she talked louder. Right? And I said, just relax. I'm reading at the moment. So then she started like singing and talking and walking around and like that. There's nature. Just so you will develop detachment. So that's the nature. If you go through the ashram properly, you'll become out the other side detached. And that is the purpose of the ashram. So Krishna gives you license for sense gratification. Why? Not so that you can enjoy sense gratification on and on and on, but so that you will lose your desire for it. So if you follow the Varnashram system properly, you will lose your material desires. If you don't follow it properly, your material desires will increase. Any points?
Does the frustration has to come before becoming deceptive process, so you go through the suffering or so-called unpleasant experience, and then you get frustrated by that, and then the detachment comes, or?
No, you become detached, and then you become frustrated. What sort of question is that?
No, because you mentioned yesterday as well and today too that by going through this you become detached. I don't see becoming detached. I see becoming frustrated, but not detached.
Yeah. So then, what
is? Are you frustration and detachment, are they synonymous?
No, they're not synonymous. One leads to the other. Yeah. So at the moment you say you're not detached, but at the moment you say you're frustrated. So after 20 more years of frustration, you'll become detached. No? Okay. So just stick with it, and you'll become. How old are you now?
37.
Yeah. So another 20 years, you'll be sannyasi.
I think
I'll reach that stage before that. Yeah, so 47 you'll be a sannyasi. What's the problem? Any other point?
Also it said that satisfying the desires is like adding butter to the fire, unless there is some control. Brahmacharya, you can never
So what's your point?
There has to be control. Restraint.
What does?
In.
What are you talking about, Jamuna Jivan?
Even in satisfying our desires, lusty desires.
Yeah, the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says you have to become Grihastha Brahmachari. Grihasthas are also Brahmachari.
We have the same desire what we have in 18 years, it doesn't go away, but we need to learn to control.
So what's the point?
Like desire will be there, like we should learn how to control it and how to get over it.
Yeah, that's the whole point of the ashram. Yeah, you have to be able, you don't want to be like Ajahn, 80 years old and still disturbed. So you have to become Grihastha Brahmachari. You have to practice Brahmacharya. So that is the system. Well, the Grihasthas also have to be practicing Brahmacharya. So it's the same as being a Brahmachari. Grihastha life's the same. You only have sex life when you want to have children. That's the system. And if you don't want to have children, then don't have sex life. The Grihastha life is not as good as Brahmacharya life because both are practicing Brahmacharya, but one has wife and children or husband and they will drive you crazy. And all the Brahmacharyas are down there in the ashram now, they're all peaceful.
Bhakti Vikas Swami has written a book called the Brahmacharya and Krishna
Consciousness. Yeah. Yeah, when I was a Brahmacharya, that was my Bible. Mm. I used to read that and study it and do all of that, and now I'm married. But one interesting point, and I say this to devotees all the time, I was Brahmacharya for 8 years, and still I'm being carried in my devotional service by those 8 years of training that I received in Brahmacharya life. So it's very important that devotees get that training. And if you're a Grihastha, because many devotees, maybe everyone here, you all joined as Grihasthas, you never had that Brahmacharya training, that proper strict training, then you have a lot of work to do to catch up. Because ISKCON can train you and can bring you, and the point of these kind of seminars and courses is to give you that training that you missed out on. But it's definitely an advantage if you can be Brahmacharya before entering Grihastha ashram. It gives you a lot of strength. Because being a Grihastha is not easy. Any points? Yeah. So then, what is the example which is being given here? You can, it says in the verse,
exchange.
You may exchange your old age with someone who will agree to transfer his youth to you. So we're about to hear about something extremely selfless. Mm-hmm. You know, who would do that? Who would do that? You would swap someone's old age for your youth. That's like me and Mahatma Prabhu. Right? He says, okay, I'll become 45 and I'll become 75. Right? So, would I do that? Right. So, the system is that Yayati, his son, did that. And that's one example which is there of the potency or the power of the Vedic culture. In Vedic culture, there was so much strength in the family relationships. And even now you'll see, there's quite a lot of strength there. But that's an amazing sacrifice. It's a huge sacrifice. Would you do that for your father?
I know one of our relatives, he donated his kidney to his wife.
Yeah. So that's a huge sacrifice. Yeah. I would have to think very carefully about giving my kidney to my wife. I would have to think. I may do it. I'd have to think about it very carefully. But it's an amazing level of sacrifice.
This one devotee who donated his kidney to Shyam Sundar.
Who did it?
Gopinath.
Which Gopinath?
He's from Bombay, not Brahmachari.
And when that happened, when Shyama Sundar Prabhu is a Prabhupada disciple, very senior Prabhupada disciple, is one of the first six that were sent to London by Prabhupada.
Malati
and Shyama Sundar and Mukunda Maharaj and Jamuna and Janaki and Guru Das. They were like the first six which were sent to there. So he's very senior, one of the original disciples of Prabhupada. So he needed to get the kidney transplant. So then they sent an email, Malati, Mataji, she sent an email out all around Instagram if someone can donate their kidneys. And something like 17 devotees from around the world wrote and said, I will give my kidney. So when the doctor found out, you know, normally it's hard to get one kidney. And there's 17. On offer. So he walked into the room, the doctor walked in, and he said to Shyama Sundar, he said, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
He said, 17 people are saying of you. He said, who are you? You must be...
extraordinary.
Yeah. No, but he said, you must be someone famous or something. Or he said, who are you? Because so many people are like, you know, maybe someone's a rock star or something, I don't know. Something. Probably even them that people would not do it, maybe, I don't know. But they do this. This is such a level of surrender. So here, Yayati is being offered youth. So it's an amazing level of surrender. But you'll see this in the Bhagavatam and the Mahabharata. This is showing us the level of consciousness that we need to come to in Krishna's service. We have to be willing to do anything in Krishna's service. Prabhupada says that. Prabhupada said if someone attacks the temple, you have to be willing to give your life to protect the deities. Prabhupada says that. So we have to develop that kind of surrender and that kind of consciousness. That's what the Bhagavatam is teaching us. Many examples are there in the Mahabharata, in the Bhagavatam. You know, Gandhari. You know, what wife would do that? Would your wife do that? Tie her eyes up for the rest of her life? For you? My wife might do that. I know. She's very selfless. She might actually do that. I don't know if she would, but she might. Yeah. Would she give her kidney for me? I think she actually would. Will I give it to her? I would have to think. I tell you, I'm not as pure. Probably I would, but I would have to think about it a lot. But I don't think she would even think about it very much. She would just give it. So we have to become like that. We have to become pure. So the Bhagavatam is teaching us these examples. And Prabhu says, here, take my yoga. What's the problem? I don't need it anyway. It's like, you know, if I was going to swap with Mahatma Prabhu now, I'd have to think about it a lot. You know, really, really, really. I mean, for Prabhupada, we do. Or for Janani Vas Prabhu. A very advanced devotee. I said to him one time, actually. I said, take my youth. He said, I went to see him. I said, how are you feeling? He said, I'm feeling old. He's over 70. He said, I'm feeling old. I said, then take my youth. For him, I would do it. So for very advanced devotees, we'll do it. But we need to learn. The point is, Bhagavatam is teaching us to become so selfless. Any points? Yeah, it took the vow of
Brahmacharya. Just to fulfill his father's
name. Shantanu. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, all these examples, they're powerful examples. Yes, sir.
Prabhuji, when you said to protect the deities, Prabhupada gave one from a story about Somnath, you know, Lord Shiva's Lingam in Somnath, and the Mughals attacked. They attacked 17 times, and it is said that they killed so many Brahmanas that time to protect, Brahmanas wanted to protect, that they removed each and every Janam, the thread. It went up to the weight of 500 kg. That many.
Prabhupada said that they all went
to
the world. So we said that
Krishna Parmoshu. I will get you. Yeah, the Janoi. It waited, and there was so many Brahmanas dying.
Where was that?
It's in Gujarat somewhere.
Gujarat.
Yeah. Because the Mughals attacked 17 times to plunder the gold.
Okay. When Yayati received this benediction from Shukracharya, he requested his eldest son, my dear son Yadu, please give me your youth in exchange for my old age and invalidity. My dear son, I am not yet satisfied in my sexual desires. But if you are kind to me, you can take the old age given by your maternal grandfather, and I may take your youth so that I may enjoy life for a few years more.
This is the nature of lusty desires. In Bhagavad Gita 7.20 it is said, Kama is there, jnana. When one is too attached to sense gratification, he actually loses his sense. The word hrita jnana refers to one who has lost his sense. Here is an example. The father shamelessly asked his son to exchange youth for old age. Of course, the entire world is under such illusion. Therefore, it is said that everyone is pramatha or exclusively mad. Nunam pramatha kurute vikarma. When one becomes almost like a madman, he indulges in sex and sense gratification. Sex and sense gratification can be controlled, however, and one achieves perfection when he has no desires for sex. This is possible only when one is fully Krishna conscious. Since I have engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing ever new pleasure in Him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with distaste. This is Yamunacharya recording. Yes. Sexual desire can be stopped only when one is fully Krishna conscious and not otherwise. As long as one has desires for sex, one must change his body and transmigrate from one body to another to enjoy sex in different species of forms. But although the forms may differ, the business of sex is same. Therefore it is said, Punapunap charvita charvanam, those who are very much attached to sex transmigrate from one body to another with the same business of chewing the chew, tasting the sex enjoyment as dog, sex enjoyment as a hog, sex enjoyment as a demigod, and so on.
Mm. What are our points here?
Sex is the binding force. It binds one to the material world. We even see the example of time of Indra becoming a hog. And then he was so engrossed in enjoying the body with his big legs, he refused to actually come back to the original position. And now that someone has to go to mind.
Any other points?
Very surprising to see that so many times in Srimad Bhagavatam that is repeated time and time again, still an influence of mind will forget the scope of.
Yeah. That's why you have to read and study regularly to remind yourself all the time. Nichab Bhagavad says every day you need to be hearing and chanting so that you can remind yourself of what is the. Anything else?
Prabhupada says the sense gratification is present in every species of life. It's not just exclusive to only human beings. Every species enjoys the same.
Yeah. Same thing. So, as we're seeing in the second half, when you become lusty, you become mad. Krishna explains this in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verses 62 and 63. Jayato vishayam pumsan, sangatke shupa jayate, sangat sanjayate karma, kama, protogi jayate. So, when you become influenced by lust, then what takes place? You become angry. From angry, delusion. From delusion, loss of memory. From loss of memory, and then you fall down again into the material world. So this is the sequence which we all follow in this material world. So your consciousness becomes corrupted, you become impure, and then you lose your intelligence. So much so that he runs after his wife, begins to massage her feet. When men want sex life, they'll do anything for the woman. You'll see all through the material world. They'll do anything for the woman. They'll spend so much money, they'll give her anything she wants. It's like in the West, there's one very famous Hollywood actor, his name is Tom Cruise. Maybe you know him. He's like a big Hollywood actor. Big guy. So he wanted to get one girl, Katie Holmes, to marry him. So then he took her and then took her to Paris. And then he hired one hotel room, and she walked in the hotel room, big hotel room, probably bigger than this room. And the whole room was full of roses. He spent like $10,000 just on roses. Because women, when they see flowers, they become, like that. So he wanted to impress upon her. So when people become attached to sex life, they'll do anything. They totally lose their intelligence. So then Krishna is saying that if you contemplate the objects of the senses, attachment develops, lust develops, and from lust, anger arises, from anger, delusion, and delusion, bewilderment of memory. And then you lose your memory, and then you forget everything. So that's why Prabhupada says, lust is public enemy number one. So you have to learn to control lust. You have to learn to not be controlled by lust. That's the process of bhakti.
I know, but it's kind of my...
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's lust or anything, but he wanted to surprise his wife. He gave a surprise to her, so he bought a diamond for $7,500. The diamond is only this much. So he bought it.
Yeah. So then, how do we overcome lust? So devotees, they wrote letters to Prabhupada, how to overcome lust. Then Prabhupada said, lust is known as, in Sanskrit, is known as madan. Madan means?
Krishna.
Cupid, Madan, Cupid. So in the West we also have Cupid. Cupid means the guy with the arrow. shoots the arrow of calm into the heart, and then he makes your head spin, and you become covered. And so Krishna is known as Madan?
Mohana.
He bewilders. So Prabhupada says the only way that you can overcome your lust, you have to become attached to Krishna. And when you're attached to Krishna, then you don't become. So one time Cupid, Madan, he approached Narada. This pastime is told in Vrindavan. So then he approached Narada and he said to Narada, I want to conquer you. So I'm going to shoot my arrow at you. Because if I shoot you, I'll become very famous because you are the greatest brahmachari. Narada Muni is the greatest of all the brahmacharis. So if I influence you with lust, I'll become very famous. I conquered Narada Muni. Narada Muni said, don't waste your time. He said, I'm a very easy target. He said, if you shoot me, easily I'll become influenced by lust. He said, if you really want to become famous, you go and shoot Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
He said, so where is Krishna? He said, he's in Vrindavan. So Madan, he was going through the forest. Where our Krishna Balaram Mandir is in Vrindavan, not far from that place, then that's where Madan Ter is, the place where this pastime took place. So then he was looking through the forest, and he could hear the sound of the flute. And then he took out his arrow, and he was going to shoot Krishna, and then he came behind the tree, and he saw Krishna, and then he aimed the arrow. But when he saw Krishna, Krishna was so beautiful, the Madan, Cupid, when he saw Krishna, he fainted. Because Krishna was so attractive. Krishna is all attractive. So Krishna is known as Madan,
Mohan,
one who bewilders Cupid. And then who bewilders Krishna? Krishna? Madan Mohan, Mohini. So one time, Radharani said to Krishna, you are not such a great wrestler. Krishna said, I'm a very powerful wrestler. Radharani said, I can easily defeat you. Krishna said, no one can defeat me. I'm the most powerful of the wrestlers. She said, I will meet you here tomorrow. You come in your wrestling gear and we will wrestle. So Krishna came and he dressed like a wrestler, ready to wrestle. And he got there and the gopis were there. And he said, where is Radharani? He said, she's coming. So Radharani dressed as a wrestler. And she put it, tied like, and they tied the dhoti like, two blokes like that one there. So she tied like that and she dressed herself nicely. And then she tied her hair up into a top knot like that. And then she took one veil just so you could just see her eyes. She put it over her head and she walked in. And she walked into the wrestling arena. And she was so beautiful and so attractive. As soon as Krishna saw her, he became attractive. And then she walked. And then she unbowed her eyes and she just looked at Krishna like this. And when Krishna saw Radharani, he went, fell on the ground unconscious. And then Radharani, she came and she put her foot on Krishna's chest. So Madan Mohan was conquered by Madan Mohan Mohini. Shimati Radharani ki. See you next week. Hare Krishna. Maha Mangala.